Tonight's reading comes from the book of Joshua, chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness in this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And Joshua commanded the officers of the people, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people. Prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan and to go in and take possession of the land that the Lord your God has given you to possess. And to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the word that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is providing you a place of rest and will give you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land that Moses gave you beyond the Jordan. But all the men of valor among you shall pass over armed before your brothers and shall help them, until the Lord gives rest to your brothers as he has to you, and they also take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving to them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and shall possess it, the land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan towards the sunrise. And they answered Joshua, all that you have commanded us we will do, and wherever you send us we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so will we obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your commandment and disobeys your words, whatever you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. This is the word of the Lord.
Heavenly Father, as you speak to us now, would you help us to hear and believe so that we would not turn from what you say to the right or to the left, but may prosper through your promises. In Jesus' name, amen. The future is scary, I guess, for many people today. If you think about it, actually, all our fears are to do with the future. You never get scared about the past because the past has already happened. You get scared about the future because that's not happened yet. And you and I get scared about the future because we don't know it. And we don't understand it. And we can't control it. It's bigger than us. It's beyond us. And as much as we might try, the future will not bow down before us. How do you then cope? Well, with what a new year brings, or with what tomorrow brings. As we begin this year, we're also beginning a new series. We're beginning a new era for the people of Israel in the book of Joshua. It's a real time of change and transition. They have a new start in a new land. There's a new leader and a great big future ahead of them. And this book is written to teach God's people then and today really just one big lesson again and again and again and again. And again, live by faith in God's promises. Live by faith in God's promises. Why should you and I do that? Why should you put everything you are into God's promises? Why should you look to God's promises as you think about today and about the future? Well, God doesn't just tell us, live by faith in what I say. He gives us reasons. He wants to persuade us. And Joshua 1 to 2 is going to give us three reasons why we should live by faith in God's promises. Here's the first. God keeps them. Live by faith in God's promises because he keeps his promises. Look with me at verse 2. Moses, this is the Lord speaking to Joshua. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, that's the river Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to the people of Israel. And you could read that and think this is a stage direction. You lot, go over there. But it's more than that. In the very beginning, God commanded Adam and Eve to fill the earth. A bit later on, God turned that command into a promise when God spoke to Abraham and said, I'm going to make your family bigger than the dust of the earth and the stars of the sky. You're going to have a family that fills the earth. The problem was that at that time, and God said that to Abraham, Abraham and his wife couldn't fill one crib, let alone a country. They were old. They had no children. They were unable to conceive. Fast forward from Abraham, about 430 years, we're roughly in the 15th century BC. Joshua chapter 1, verse 2. All this people, there's about a couple of million of them. And you think, well, where did that lot come from? Where did all of those people come from? The men and the women and the boys and girls. Well, they came from God's promise. This is Abraham's family, whom has come because God keeps his promise. God keeps his promises. God promised Abraham not only a family, he also promised Abraham a land for his people to live in. God then repeated that promise to Moses, again and again, particularly in the book of Deuteronomy. God now repeats it to Joshua. Look at verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. Now, I was going to act this out, but I'm wearing big, thick boots and it would take too long to undo them. But just imagine Joshua walking around and the soles of his feet hitting the dust. And imagine him wriggling his 10 little toes and feeling the dust underneath them. Every time he feels the dust of the land of Canaan under his feet, he is touching God's promise. In many ways, by the way, he's looking a lot like Adam, who had the whole of the Garden of Eden and the whole world put under his feet. And he's looking a lot like the Lord Jesus, under whose feet God the Father has put everything today. And so as Joshua wriggles his 10 little toes and feels the dust under his feet, he is touching the promises of God. The promises that God has already kept. Did you notice that there in verse 3? It's not the land I will give you. It's the land I have given you, just as I promised Moses. The land's over there. Israel's over here. They've not yet gone over the river. They've not yet gone into it. They've not fought any battles. But the Lord says, I've already kept my promise. Because the whole earth is mine, that bit of land is mine. And because it is mine to give you. And I give it to you. I have given it to you. I've kept my promise to Abraham and to Moses. What type of land are we talking about? Don't think a little allotment. This isn't a Schrebergarten where you hang out in the summer. This is huge. Verse 4 gives you some of the locations of it. This is bits of Syria, Jordan, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and all of modern-day Israel. It's massive. It's huge. It would take Joshua more than a lifetime to walk all the way around it. And God has given all of it to all of his people because God keeps his promises. the land at various places in Joshua and in the books just before. It is described like the Garden of Eden. And what we see God promising to Joshua here is meant to make us think of what God has promised us, has promised everyone who trusts the Lord Jesus. One day you, if you're trusting Jesus, you will feel the ground of the new creation beneath your feet as you wiggle your 10 little toes. And yet even though we look forward to that, we look forward to a new heavens and a new earth, a place where righteousness dwells, it is a place that God has already given you if you're a Christian. Because God has given everything to Jesus, and everything Jesus has, he shares with us. God keeps his promises. The same type of emphasis is there in verse 5. Have a look. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Exodus 3 verse 12, God appeared to Moses out of a burning bush and said, I will be with you. And then throughout the whole of the Exodus, God was. And now God says to Joshua, "But I'm going to be to you what I was to Moses. Remember Pharaoh. Remember Pharaoh's big bad army. How they tried to stand against Moses. Where are they now, Joshua? Oh, they're at the bottom of the Red Sea, drowned. Yeah. And so, Joshua, as you move into this new land, if anyone tries to do a Pharaoh to you, I'll just do to them what I did to Pharaoh. I kept my promise to Moses. I was with him. I fought for him. I'll keep my promise for you. I always keep my promises. Therefore, verse 6, off you go. Off you go. You shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers, that I promised to their fathers to give them. With all these promises kept, I think we're meant to just almost pause and just, as it were, look back at God's track record. God promised Abraham a people. There's the people. God promised Abraham a land. There's the land given already. God promised Abraham blessing. I'll just look down to verse 15. The Lord will give his people rest and blessing in the land. God has a perfect track record in promise keeping. And you and I need to know that because due to our sinful nature, and sometimes especially when we're hurting or we're scared, we get our track record and God's track record mixed up. And we treat God as if he makes and breaks his promises. And we treat ourselves as if we're fully reliable people of absolute integrity. And there's a theological word to describe that. Bananas. It's absolute bananas. We don't have God's track record. And God does not have your track record or mine. He keeps every promise he makes. Look at them. He keeps them. God kept all his promises to Abraham, to Moses, to Joshua, to Israel. What makes you think God has changed since then? So that he's not reliable today or tomorrow. God never changes. Imagine all the gold in every Swiss bank was yours. I was going to Google how much gold is in all Swiss banks, but then I thought, surely Google shouldn't know that, so I didn't. But imagine it was all yours. All those lovely heavy bars of gold, all yours. How secure would you feel? And if you're at all honest, you say, I'd feel a little bit more secure than I felt last Tuesday, last Thursday, whenever. But gold can lose its value. Gold can be lost. Gold can be stolen. If you have God's promises, you have something more certain and more enduring and more rich than if your name was on every bar in every bank in all of Switzerland. God makes his promises, he keeps his promises. He never rushes into them. He's not like you and me. He doesn't say what he doesn't mean. What he says, he means, and what he says, he does all the time. And therefore, God's promises never lose their value. They're infinitely precious because the Father spoke them. The Son has paid for them by his death so that all of God's promises can be yours and mine through faith in Jesus. And if you're trusting Jesus, not only has the Father spoken his promises to you, not only has the Son paid for them, the Spirit has sealed them to you. So that in Christ, all God's promises are yours, for your good, forever. Take that, Swiss banks. If anyone wants to give LEC a Swiss bank, we won't complain. Live by faith in God's promises. God keeps them. He keeps all of them. Well, if that wasn't reason enough, God gives us another reason. And it's really for the rest of the chapter, from verse 6 to verse 18. God strengthens us through his promises. You and I are as strong as the words inside us, the words we live by. And if I only live by my words, or by the words of other humans, then I am weak. Because humans break promises, I break promises. Our words fail and fall all the time. But if you have God's promises in you, you're unbreakable. You are as strong as the promises of God. God's promises strengthen his people so that his people begin to take on, as it were, some of the characteristics of God's promises. And God shows us two examples of this. Look at verses 10 to 11. God has told Joshua, get up, go into the land. And now Joshua passes on the message, command the people, prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan to go in to take possession of the land. Israel's there. There is a big river in front of them. On the other side of the big river is a big land. In the big land are lots of big enemies. But Joshua says nothing about how to cross the river. Nothing about military training. There is no war gaming. There is no battle plan. There is nothing about tactics or weapons. All Joshua says is, get the snacks ready. That's what prepare provisions mean. Why does Joshua only say that? Well, look at the end of verse 11. The Lord your God is giving you this land. So here's Joshua. He's new in the job. His old boss Moses is dead. He's got this people, he's got to bring in the great big land, loads of enemies waiting there for them. And yet before our eyes, God is strengthening Joshua with his promises. And not only Joshua, just look at verses 12 to 15. God does this for his people. Joshua tells 2.5 tribes of Israel who had settled outside of the land. They'd settled down there. He tells them, send your men over to help the rest of Israel take the land. Verse 14 says that will mean leaving their wives and their children and their possessions and the homes they've built, all their stuff over there, unprotected. What if they're needed while they're gone? What if some of the enemy launches a sneak attack back over the river? What if the fighting's really hard in the land? What if the men die in battle? What if Joshua makes the wrong decisions? Well, look how they answer, verse 16. All that you have commanded us, we will do. Wherever you send us, we will go. And how did they get so brave and strong? Well, they've listened to God's word. They've believed God's word. They're taking him at his word. They're living by faith in his promises. That's why they quote the promises of God back to Joshua in verse 18. They tell him what God has told him. Do you see? God's promises strengthen Joshua. They strengthen Israel. They will strengthen you. They are exactly what you need to be strong and bold and courageous. Be bold, be strong, be a Bible person. Do you see, that's what God says in verses 6 to 9, the bit we just skipped over. Have a look at verses 6 to 9. Be strong and courageous. Repeated verse 7, be strong and courageous. How? By being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. And when God speaks here of law, he doesn't just mean the things he's told them to do. He means also the promises he's made. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. And in case Joshua, had zoned out for verse 7 and wasn't listening, God tells him again in verse 8, this book of the law, that's most likely Deuteronomy, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. It's the type of reading aloud and then memorizing and then saying it to yourself. So that you should be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? In other words, be bold, be strong, be a Bible guy, Joshua. Joshua, you're as strong as the words that you live by. Live by my words. Whose words do you live by? Whose words are in your mouth? Whose words are in your mind that you meditate on? Whose words come to mind day and night? For all of us, it's ultimately just two choices. Either it is the weak, failing, falling words of men and women, or the strong, strengthening promises of Almighty God that stand forever. The promises that strengthen us, the promises that nothing in life or death can overpower. And so God tells Joshua, verses 6 to 9, live by faith in my promises, be bold, be strong, be a Bible person. That will make you strong. There's all sorts of reasons to come to church, many of them excellent indeed. Let me suggest, come to church to hear God's promises. All sorts of reasons to read the Bible, but let me suggest, open your Bible to read God's promises. Join a home group to learn God's promises together. Read the Bible with a friend to help one another be strengthened by God's promises. The strength that you and I most need for today, the strength that we sung about in that opening song, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, that comes not from visions or experiences or from our own inner resolve. It comes from the words God has said, from his promises. Anna mentioned in the prayers that we need a new church building to meet in before November. We don't yet have one. That's scary. But God has promised never to leave us or forsake us. He's promised that. That promise strengthens us to keep on trusting him. I'm often scared by what other people will think of me. I fight that fear by telling myself God has promised he will never leave me or forsake me. And that strengthens me to keep on trusting God and to care hopefully a little less about what other people think of me. God's promises strengthen us for life. They're what you and I most need. And it's not just for life that they strengthen us for death. A friend of mine recently told me about when his Christian dad was on his deathbed, and the family had this sense that the dad was holding on, as it were, for the sake of his wife, my friend's mum. And his mum, after a while, said to his dad, listen, you go on and enjoy yourself. You go on and enjoy yourself. I'll be along soon enough. Now, how can you have that strength in a room where there's a deathbed? Well, that's not going to come from Swiss gold. That can only come from the promises of God. The God who has promised that in Jesus he's paid for our sin, he's taken away our guilt, he's dealt with our shame, he's conquered death, he's opened up life eternal, that in the moment of our dying we then meet the risen Lord Jesus, who welcomes us with open arms and says, enter, friend, into the joy of your master. You see, trust God's promises, live by faith in them, and they strengthen you so that you can face anything. Anything. My worst nightmare is not as strong as God's promises, neither is yours. And so as we look at this bit of Joshua we're on right now, our Heavenly Father is saying to you and to me, trust me. Go on, trust me. That stuff you think I can't deal with, I can. Live by faith in my promises. They won't fail, they won't fall, they will strengthen you. Trust me. And yet it is even as our Heavenly Father says that to us, I'm sure that for many of us there is just another voice whispering away, those promises aren't for you. That won't work for you. To which God says, yes they are, and yes they will. And that's the second chapter and our third point. Why should we live by faith in God's promises? Well, he keeps them. They strengthen us. And then thirdly, he gives them to anyone. That's chapter 2. Chapter 2 begins with, I think, one or some of the best Bible comedy there is. I have been giggling a lot this week. It begins with Joshua sending spies, two spies off, saying, right, you chaps, go and view the land, verse 2, especially Jericho. And so you just get the Mission Impossible soundtrack playing in your head. Yeah, you've got it. And the super secret spy mission begins. And the super secret spies go straight to Rahab the prostitute's house. It's got to be an own goal. That's got to be a disaster. They're not just going for a cup of coffee or to ask directions either. They stay there. They lodge there. Verses 3 and 4 tell us actually they didn't just go to the house, they went to Rahab herself. This is very dodgy. It is the super secret spy mission to the red light district. And then look at verse 2. And it was told to the king of Jericho, behold, men of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land. Within hours of the super secret spy mission beginning, all Jericho knows all about it. They know who has come, where they went, why they came, what they're doing, and where to find them. Johnny English, eat your heart out. The king then sends soldiers or messengers to Rahab, bring out the men who entered your house. And we think, well, that's got to be the end of these two spies. I mean, they're pretty useless, but now they're going to get a bullet in the back of the head. Because surely Rahab is going to say, they're there. Get them. I mean, that's what we do. She exposes the spies, saves the city, wins the king's favour and reward. She's a hero. The rest of her life is sorted. Isn't it? Verse 4, Rahab has hidden them. Verse 5, she sends the soldiers not over there, but over there. The wrong direction. Why? Well, look at verse 10. We have heard, this is Rahab speaking to the spies that she has hidden. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, whom you devoted to destruction. All Jericho has heard what God did through the Exodus out of Egypt. And because they heard, they got scared. Verse 9, all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. Verse 11, as soon as we heard, our hearts melted and there was no spirit, means there was no strength left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in the heavens above and on the earth below. God did the Exodus. He brought his people out of Egypt, destroyed Pharaoh's army, parted the Red Sea, conquered all opposition, and all Canaan and all Jericho heard. And their hearts have melted like wax in the sun. But Rahab's believed. She's heard of God's great rescue. She's heard of God's great judgment on his enemies. And she thinks, well, the God who saves and rescues like that, he can save and rescue me. She hears of what God has done and thinks, well, what God did for Israel, he can do for me. Verse 12. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that as I have dealt kindly with you, you will also deal kindly with my father's house and give me a sure sign and save alive my family and deliver our lives from death. That word kindly is the Hebrew word for God's steadfast love, God's graciousness, his mercy. It's the word God uses to describe himself at the Exodus. The Lord, abounding in steadfast love. And Rahab has heard of that. And therefore, because she's heard that the Lord is a merciful, a gracious, a kind God, Rahab says, please save me from death. And the spies say, okay. Verse 18, when we come back, the spies say, tie this cord, this bit of string, in the window through which you let us down. Rahab's house is in the city wall. This window is a kind of a window and door thing. Evidently, you can go in and out of it. That's important. We'll come back to that in a second. They say, get all your family in the house. Anyone in the house will be safe from God's judgment and from death. Heard something like that before? A sign around a door? Saving God's people from judgment and death. Well, that's the Exodus, isn't it? Back in Egypt, God's people painted the blood of a lamb on their door. Anyone who was inside the house and had the sign on the door was safe from judgment and death. But it's not just the Exodus. That's the Lord Jesus. In John's Gospel, chapter 10, Jesus says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. If you have Jesus, if you are trusting him and his promises, then when the judgment of God comes, when all the world is summoned to give an account to Almighty God for how we have lived, then you're safe from judgment and death. Safe because of God's promise. Safe because Jesus himself died the death and faced the judgment that we should. Everyone in Jericho's heard about the Exodus. Their hearts have melted, but Rahab has believed. Faith has come by hearing. That's how God makes Christians. And she now lives by faith in God's promises. She's saved from death and judgment. She is strong and courageous. That's why chapter 2 is here after chapter 1. What does a strong and courageous believer look like? Is it just Joshua, this great big leader? Is it just these tribes? No, it's anyone. Anyone can be strong and courageous. Even Rahab. Think about it. Where would you expect to find strong and courageous believers? Churches, yeah? Or seminaries where people go to become pastors, or mission agencies. That's where you find strong, courageous believers. What about in Saudi brothels? Or Japanese sex shops? Or in red light Leipzig flats? Or what about Rahab, the prostitute in Jericho? She comes from the wrong country. Canaan is full of God's enemies. She comes from the wrong city. Jericho is under God's wrath. It's heading for destruction because of its sin. She comes from the wrong background. But she gets it all right. Not by cleaning herself up, but by believing God's promises. And so she is a model for God's people back then. And for us today, of a strong and courageous believer. She is heard, and she now takes God at his word. She believes his promises. She becomes, by faith, one of God's people. If you think God only saves churchy people, look again, look at Rahab. If you think you can't live by God's promises, that is a life that is out of your grasp, look again at Rahab. What God gave her, he can give to you. If she can live by faith in God's promises, anyone can. Do you see, God gives his promises to all sorts of people. To the wrong people. To people in Leipzig even, to people under his wrath and heading for destruction. God gives his promises to anyone who will hear and believe the Lord Jesus, even to people like you and me. Anyone can live by faith in God's promises. And so, do you see what these two chapters are saying? This one big message: live by faith in God's promises. Now, what reason might you have not to do that? Think God won't keep them? God keeps all his promises. Think they won't do you any good? God's people are strengthened by God's promises. Think they're not for you? God's promises are for anyone who will hear Jesus and believe him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you are a perfect God and that every one of your words proves true. And that therefore your promises are what give us life and are everything we need to live by. Father, where we are tempted to live by weak, failing and falling human words, show us what a dead end that is. And bring our hearts and minds to trust you again, so that we would live by faith in every one of your promises. In Jesus' name, amen.